Welcome back. Did I just say welcome back?
Yeah, you said
that's a terrible way to start a show.
But welcome back nonetheless, dear listeners. And welcome to this Ascension Day, the home run, where we are specifically looking at South to South. If you saw the poster,
yeah,
that's not obviously if you were sober enough. I assume you've been sober.
Come on, it's Ascension Day. Of course, we are Christians. We're going to be sober.
Yeah, you right. And me, we were sober. We've been sober the whole day. So the assumption is obviously there that, you know, other people's.
other people are ascending in a lot of different ways. But I don't think a lot of people are ascending, by a lot of different ways. I'm talking about the Wiz Khalifa and the Snoop Dogg way of ascending. But, the reason why I think that ascending is not going to work out is because of, the gentleman that was arrested with their ascension, ascension. How do you call it? Ascension material? Like, I think 52 bags of Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa ascension material was
holy,
now in the
holy
hands.
Holy
herb,
worthy.
Yeah, holy herb. You know, the first thing that came in my head when I read that story? Hemp, man. It turns out our soil is excellent at producing these things.
Yes, it is. Which is also a discussion of, if the activists about this particular crop are serious, then it's not a discussion of how you consume it in a spiritual manner or associating a religion to this particular discussion, because there's a lot of people, too many in majority, that frown upon this particular religion.
Mm-hmm.
it's the Jaman kind of life.
I call it Bob Malism.
Okay, Bob Malism. Well, the notion born from that particular discussion is obviously, we've already done this particular subject matter. I've interviewed the specialist on this particular subject matter, Angela Prusa, many times, based upon the economic benefits that greatly outweigh the negative perceptions that exist. And it's not about a notion, it's technically a notion of educating as extensively as possible. But here's the thing, Helmut. If you don't see the particular discussions actually amplifying, because we have a great issue with industrialization,
yep,
and you need a crop that can feed that industrialization endeavor, based upon our Tuesday discussion, remember, the report of the various industrialization or industrializable activities that were just hanging there. One was standing empty. The other one was like, those are our leather. Those are our hides sitting there. But we have
been fresh since 2023.
But we are volunteering to look after the facility for you. But that's our stock sitting there.
Yeah, the same stuff you found back in 2023. Don't mind that they're still fresh.
However, there are some stuck in a tank that is busy going not so well. And you've got to ask the question, okay, so the dry ones are yours, but the stuck ones are someone else's.
But, for report purposes, let's just,
paint
the picture that they were stuck there the last time the entire facility was in operation.
Okay.
There's nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
Please, thank you very much, Mr. Reporter. And when I was reading the story of the article of the confiscation of the holy hemp, the article refers to the arrest and interrogation of the driver led to the discovery of the plantation.
Mm.
So this plantation was like, so hang on a second. When this National Assembly, when this National Council Committee on this agro-processing, processing infrastructure went to investigate these things in the Ochotonjupa region, they didn't, they skipped one. Because it's agro-processing if you look at it.
No, but obviously this particular activity would have been hidden, Helmut.
It is hidden in the middle of legal crops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So It is hidden.
1.5 hectares. How big is that for that particular product?
A football field and a half.
Holy cow.
Sorry about that. But that's... sounding off.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we are not here to promote any, you know, Bob Marleyism or Pablo Escobarism or any kind of ism in terms, you know, with regards to religion. We so today's subject for those of you, or more like today's discussion for those of you that saw our poster, has to do with South Cooperation.
Mm.
And South South Cooperation is some kind of a diplomatic way of basically saying developing countries working together to try to help, working together politically, economically, but mostly economically, instead of just depending on developed countries in terms of any assistance, especially development wise.
Yeah.
So developing countries working together, South cooperation.
Mm.
Developing countries working with developed countries, triangular cooperation. Who is coming up with these things? But the names are, brilliant.
But it still has the same particular flavor, uh-huh. which is technically what BRICS is already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, dear listeners, just to supplement a little bit more. So the United Nations held a particular endeavor or a particular engagement earlier this week, in Morocco, based upon South-South Cooperation. Now, here's the funny thing, Helmut. I looked at that in the explainer of that particular live stream that they had.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the founding document that ultimately gives rise to this particular platform, and it's based upon the Buenos Aires Plan of Action of 1978.
Yeah.
So since 1978... this particular subject matter has been in existence.
Yep.
And here's where things get even more murky. I'll use the term murky.
I'm calling it the Baba 40. I don't have time for all the...
That's true. It says for Baba.
Baba plus 40. That thing is a mouthful.
Okay, let's go for Baba. So it's no one's family member, please, guys, please.
Mm-hmm.
So when we sit here highlighting and analyzing this particular piece of policy, international multilateral policy, this has obviously been a discussion where many particular countries now had to fall into the acceptance realm of this particular document. Because remember, mm-hmm. 138 countries back then adopted this particular plan of action, or they adopted the consensus. That means consensus, dear listeners, is a mutual understanding. We agree in spirit to what the spirit of the agreement wants to achieve. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with ratification. Ratification is also, yeah, I agree to the principle of what you are communicating through that document. Mm-hmm. I don't agree to the document. I agree to the principle of the document. So these guys obviously then highlighted that the plan of action speaks about promoting and implementing technical cooperation between or among developing countries. So they call it as TCDC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in clear, pragmatic, descriptive illustrations, look at the Belt and Road Initiative that China has been now
spearheading
since 2018 in a Namibian context across the African continent. Look at now ultimately the particular outreach that Russia is now trying to do, obviously based upon the Ukraine conflict. Because here's where things will get really murky. Yesterday, and this is why I sometimes don't understand this American president, Donald Trump. Trump goes and uses terminology like Helmut, he uses terminology like, you'll be really disappointed and you better listen to me. That kind of a rhetoric he's telling to, signaling to Putin on his own particular, remember, on his own social media platform. And the former Russian president and former prime minister, Dmitry Medvedev, the current Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, both of them have said that particular rhetoric is problematic because it doesn't speak of let's be diplomatic. It speaks of you must listen to me.
I'm calling the shots.
Listen to me and or else, because he was also highlighting supposedly that if it's not, if there was another president that won the election in the US last year, the situation probably could have been a lot worse for Russia.
The biggest problem I have come to find, to observe about American politics is, they keep missing the middle ground. It's like, it's like the two major political parties, the Republicans and Democrats, are just working together, playing bad cop and good cop every election cycle.
Or bad cop and even worse cop.
It's like, and the people, both nationally, as in the citizens of the U.S., and internationally, like you and I, because the U.S. is a massive economy, so it's obviously has economic and political influence globally.
Yeah.
Military-wise, they have what, like over 800 military bases scattered across the continent, and those are the only ones that we know of. And then now, how about the things that, like, their intelligence communities like to call black sites? Mm-hmm. We don't even know how many there, because they are intended to be, a secret, hence the name a black site.
Yeah.
Yeah, Then what you see is that the people, both is citizens of the U.S. and people outside the U.S., keep falling for this, especially ordinary people. Mm-hmm. Where when the quote unquote progressive guys, like progressive guys like the previous administration, occupied power, mm-hmm. People that subscribe to the progressiveness of the administration, they tend to actually they yell at everyone that disagrees with them. And you see that the same thing is happening with the Trump administration, with the quote unquote conservative administration that's in office right now. Mm. And what you see is that, we are like going back to the, back to the time of Papal Rome. Everything that I'm doing, I can do it because, well, the big guy upstairs told me to do it. It has nothing, rationality now is out through the window.
Yeah.
Now, what you're saying is, everything that I have to do, even if it's just, if it's whimsical, I have to do it because, well, it's all in the name of the Lord. Now, you have to understand that, a lot of bad things have been done in the name of God. Colonialism was religiously justified. Mm. So who is a good guy and who is a bad guy? I think it's just up to the people to wake up and come to the realization that irrespective of who is going to be in the office, you are always going to be just one giant crying baby.
Yeah.
Now, the previous administration was criticized for sending a lot of money to Ukraine and Israel and not leaving enough money for all their services at home. Now, the current administration is being criticized for, well, basically throwing tariffs left, right, and center and pushing the prices of the products that are exported by, that are imported by the U.S. through the roof, therefore putting a further, a burden on the already straining, financial economy, at least on a family level.
Yeah.
So, whether you're looking at the previous, financially when it comes to the U.S., for ordinary citizens, whether you're looking at it from the previous administration or the current one, they all made one terrible decision after another in terms of foreign and domestic policy that, that made the ordinary citizens suffer financially.
Yeah.
So none of them is a good guy.
No, they're not. Here's the worst thing, Helmut. At this particular, and I call it the worst,
mm-hmm.
because I'm going to now give you a description of the conversation that took place, obviously, at this Monday-Tuesday engagement about the South-South cooperation discussion.
Yeah.
So you had the UNOSSC, that's not the South-South cooperation's own particular abbreviation. Then there was the chairperson who is the representative, I think, of he's from Morocco.
The president.
Yeah, but he was the chairperson of the G77 plus China. Now, for people who don't know what the G77 plus China are, the G77 plus China have a annual meeting, just like the General Assembly engagement, mm-hmm. which our presidents fly to every year in September. The G77 is literally the first stop that many development countries' foreign ministers make. So they stop at the G77 engagement first, and you will always, I remember back in 2023, Namibia was part of the engagement that was held at in Havana, Cuba. And for the first time, I'm trying to understand, what is this G77 plus China? So the G77 plus China is the rest of the global south economies. Now remember, this is minus Japan. This is minus Russia. This is minus the whole of Western Europe and Eastern Europe even. This is minus the United States and Canada. And you're now looking at the other parts. You're not talking about Brazil. The other guys in BRICS, Brazil, the India, the Ethiopias, the Egypts, all those guys are now in that cluster. So now you sit with a discussion of like, okay, so if you think about NATO, put NATO one side. That's particularly a military alliance. Mm. But think in the realm of G7, G20 economies. South Africa is in there as well. Russia is automatically there. India is there. China is there. You then expand that particular discussion to a notion of try and think about the same particular, collection, but in a developing nation cluster. Then you technically find some of the three BRICS guys all the BRICS guys that I mentioned, you find them as the leading top 10 economies plus more. And these are obviously the first thing that you can obviously identify is that majority of them were either globally impacted from a notion of colonialism. That's the first thing you can always look at if you look at human history. Then you try and look at, okay, what are their current positions in terms of directing global economic financial direction, being the light bearer. You realize, okay, there's probably two or three of them that are trying to literally be alternatives to the Western economy. The Western economies. And another scenario is ultimately that a lot of them are coming in the notion in terms of saying, hey, listen, let's do this as a cooperative engagement. If there's something you need to assistance with, we can do that for you. As long as we don't do this either in euro or in US dollar. I have to emphasize this. And that's what you're starting to see. Because it says, as long as we don't consider this discussion in a euro and US dollar denomination. Now, here's a shocking thing, Helmut. Back in last year, when things were slightly heating up a little bit geopolitically around the world, people were obviously talking about, remember the messaging that was going about on the internet? BRICS is going to drop the euro dollar. BRICS is going to replace the US dollar. The petro dollar is under threat and all that thing. Mm. It's actually the opposite that happened last year. So many countries actually ordered US dollars. So it was technically a boon for the US Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. Now, only the economists are saying the statement because only they obviously highlight that there was more ordering coming from the US Federal Reserve of American US dollars. Which obviously tells you there's still a lot of convincing to be done. For example, in the African continent. Because if all 54 African countries go and say, nah, brah, for AFCTA. Mm-hmm. AFCTA. Because this is South-South, remember. AFCTA is South-South. If AFCTA kicks off, and no one trusts anyone else's money, and they all say, okay, let's settle on a euro, or let's settle on US dollar. Because I'll tell you this, there's a whole bunch of Africans that will say, I want to order more American dollars in order for you to buy or ship or sell things to me. And I do the same, vice versa to you.
Yeah.
So then, Helmut, what are you sitting with once again? You're once again one territory, one zone, one collective of nations is once again who's trying to have, and remember, I told you this before, and I've told the listeners as well. If you go and think about Africa's particular economic integration plan, all those documents exist already on at the AU level. They were obviously generated before 1990, most of them, which is a wonderful thing to see. But obviously, as I've said many times before, specifically like here on the home run, we are working backwards to front versus what the Eurozone has been able to do. After the Marshall Plan kicked through, all those all those European leaders decided, you know what? Let's try and sell as much to each other as possible. And from there, it naturally morphed from becoming, having a single trading platform in with various currencies in Europe.
With a lot of negotiating power.
Then they went through to becoming a single market scenario from a single market. Then they went to becoming a single economy from a single economy. They then decided, let's take the next level of integration. Let's integrate policies, development, political endeavors and the likes, so that it looks like a unified European front. In the African context, we are starting first with the brownness, the brass cap, the hominess of things. In some cases, you see that the guys don't even want to talk to each other because that squad speaks French, the other squad speaks English. The other ones are showing off Swahili, and everyone is like, what are you doing? But we were so ahead in thinking. We had the central policy documents of the AU down already to say, we want to reach regional economic integration. No, we want to reach economic integration continent-wise. This is how we can do this, which is AFCTA. To facilitate this is integrated infrastructure, transport infrastructure, which includes airspaces and airports, which includes railway, which includes port infrastructure, which includes road infrastructure. Do you see how systematic we were as Africans? We thought about everything already. Documents were lined up already.
Oh, yeah.
Alles ist da.
In theory.
In theory. In spirit, it's there. In motion, what you see. Yeah, one guy decides to bomb himself. Another guy is having religious issues on the ground.
Another guy is, is apologizing to his citizen at the religious ceremony of, by his daughter.
At a group prayer function, he and his wife are showing up there. Yeah, I'm really sorry, guys, for the past 40 years.
I recently passed a law to prosecute each and every single one of you in a military court.
Report,
let's pretend like that didn't happen.
Which bypasses all the constitutional rights you have.
But I'm sorry. We're not taking it back. I'm just saying,
sorry and absentia,
But we're still going to sue you in a military court. But I'm...
Which is headed by my son, anyway.
Yeah.
Who's chief of the army.
You know, the same way that this church here is headed by yours truly there, my daughter.
Yeah. And, we've got to keep it in the family,
This is... It's all a different meaning, dude.
I know. I mean, Africa is, it's a wonderful place.
I know.
You get comedy and you get horror at the same time. You don't get comedy and drama. You get comedy and horror.
Comedy and horror. Yeah. It's just extreme of the two. But it's a good thing you brought up, it's a good thing you brought up, the currency discussion.
Yeah.
Take, for example, if, the FCFTA was to be kicked into implementation, one question that will obviously have to answer will be, what currency are we going to use? Are we going to have a common one? Because European countries have different, miniaturized currencies, each country, and then they have the euro. Which is really strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. For us to pull that off, the Francophones will have to talk to France. And, I don't think France would be very happy with that because, a lot of these former French colonies, is still, their central bank is literally the French central bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and the French is, you know, has, you know, they've been benefiting financially, or more like economically, you know, significantly from, you know, from that former colonial country's dependency on them, you know, banking wise. But now, how do we have to overcome that stumbling block for us to introduce, take, for example, a continental-wide unified currency like the EU zone or the Eurozone has the euro?
And that is the particular conundrum. Because remember here, Helmut, what we are talking about here.
Yeah.
Remember, I zoned in on a micro situation. I can go even more micro.
Go deeper, man of Eagle FM. But after the commercial break...
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always
Paratus. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Olio mnangeshefa na wahara kushigifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station awayo Eagle FM. Enya mkuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahe tatu imwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa konorahe tatu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
ShopRite's biggest toy promotion is all set to blast off. Get ready to play more and pay less with our wide range of toys. Get unbeatable deals like 7-piece Zeus tea set for just $24.99 per set and a 24 die-cast pullback racer for only $79.99 per set. Hurry and save big now until the 15th of June. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust. Always.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
The Eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. It's 3 minutes past the hour of five. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Our discussion for today is about the 2025 high-level conference on the UN South South Cooperation. On giving a report of on the subjects or basically the topics that were on the agenda. I just learned that Buenos Aires is Buenos Aires is Spanish for
good
air. Good air. But then, well, the air is plural, so that's not because that's not how I lose my job. So I decided to go with a fair, good.
I get the job.
Thanks. Good. Just type in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
Translation in English. I don't know what they were thinking, but it turns out in Spanish,
it's probably good winds, good air.
Fair winds. So that too, that's another translation. Yeah. So let's go with that.
But do you know that the capital of Argentina, Buenos Aires. Uh-huh. If you stand in Buenos Aires, you can see Montevideo, the capital of Uruguay.
What?
They're literally across each other, just like the two capitals the two Congos. If you stand in Kinshasa,
Brazzaville.
Well, you technically can't because that, if the lights are on, yeah. At night.
You just had to go there.
Yeah, because Helmut, you can't see the other side of the other riverbank.
Mm-hmm.
In the riverbank, not the tree line.
Yeah.
That's how broad the Congo River is. That's why ships could sail up the Congo River. That's how broad the river is. It's that river and the Amazon River that are so broad. But the Congo River is a deep river as well.
Yeah.
So certain particular large ships can literally sail up and down.
Why are we not taking advantage of it? Speaking of South-South cooperation.
Once again, I give the basic geographic positives versus the supposed geographic negatives.
Then M23 is like, yeah, finally.
Yeah, but...
Welcome back.
Yeah, but specifically if you also see Kinshasa and Brazzaville on the other side, they can literally see each other. Two capital cities, which obviously would have told you how this was probably considered in terms of being the one territory discussion. But that was the old Zaire, the unified Zaire discussion. But digressing.
That was, Buto Seseko's master plan.
Yeah, master plan.
He didn't master very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, where was I? Un momento, s'il vous plaît. Not the director. Yeah, during the South-South cooperation, while giving a report on basically like the progress that that's happening in this South-South cooperation South-South cooperation union, the UNOSSC director, Dima Al-Khatib, who I think she's she's a Syrian born, but she's Palestinian.
They like, are okay, right now, next to each other.
This is interesting. It's like saying, you know, I was born in Namibia, but I'm from Angola. Congratulations, your neighbors.
No, no, but really, Amut, they are literally like here in South Africa. They are
Namibia and South Africa.
Namibia, South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, Namibia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Angola. But in their scenario is that there's a lot of Palestinian refugees in Jordan, in Egypt, in Libya, in Lebanon, in Syria.
Like you'd expect, for example, any country that's invaded, the people are going to scatter in different, you know, in the nearest neighboring country.
Most of those countries have had those refugees since 1948. 40s. Is it 48 or 46? One of the two countries.
Yeah.
One of the two times.
Yeah. So one thing she pointed out was bridging the technological, the digital divide. So she did make two points, one that I found very interesting, fighting the digital divide, and that's between different developing countries. That's one. The second one is obviously conducting more trade.
Mm.
Yeah, the trade that developing countries have done with each other seems to be on the positive trajectory wise.
Mm.
So it's basically on the increase. And she also pointed something that I didn't know was a thing. What is called sovereign debt swap for development. Debt for development swap. And it turns out they also produced a report. It's a 36-page document, United Nations Conference on Trade and Development. The technical and statistical report, Sovereign Debt for Development Swap Possibilities Ahead. And it turns out this is something that has been going on since the 1970s or 80s.
Yeah.
Development for debt swap. It's like, you owing me too much money and you can't afford to pay it. So then we're like, you know what? How about we figure out a different way before I call Red Force? How about we figure out a different way that you can pay, a different way of you paying me my money back if you don't have the, say, liquid cash, for example. So that's when, that's interesting one, because for just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the whole debt conundrum that every country faces, including developed countries, and how to settle this debt and the challenges that each and every country is basically facing when it comes to settling this debt.
Yeah.
And also now then you come to look at how do you balance between settling your debt and developing your economy. So that obviously is is another fork in the road when it comes to developmental programs for all developing countries.
Mm.
So far the trajectory of debt that we have is it keeps increasing. So we keep borrowing. So obviously the interest rate factoring in inflation and the economic instability. The interest that you're going to pay is obviously going to go through the roof. So that is now another, just on top of the one that you had to point out.
Yeah.
The currency. That I think is another conundrum. It's not that I don't want, I'm beginning to look at the corridor, what's this, Lobito corridor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I'm not giving them an excuse. Like one of the reasons, one of the challenges the three countries, say Angola, DRC and Zambia, both had to deal with before coming together to come up with a ginormous project of that size, not that specific project per se. So each one of them obviously has, you know, owes either Western or Eastern countries, especially China. So again, to put together, and you and I talked about, we're here talking about how about 40% of the countries on the African continent don't contribute towards the funding of the AU.
Yeah. Yesterday's discussion specifically. Yeah.
So, now the AU is African Union. It's just for African countries. Now, so that means we are all on the southern part in development or economic wise. And even geographically. Now, we have, a problem as a continent working together to fund our own organization. And
its development bank.
And, oh dear Lord.
And its, what's the other one's name? There's another thing. Oh, Afri Exim Bank is also owned by the AU.
One more time.
I went and looked at the ownership of that bank. Export-import bank.
Uh-huh.
It's owned by the AU.
That's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
But?
But less than 40% of African countries contribute to the sustainable funding of the AU.
Now, with all this, internal, as in, on the continent of Africa, internal-wise, we have a problem agreeing on which projects to fund for our own good.
Mm.
Yeah, when it comes to personal lavish lifestyle, African leaders are good. And we especially dictators. I mean, they are good. They have this occasional holiday trips to Switzerland.
Or some of them live in Paris with Bugattis.
Uh-huh. Now, we can do that, but when it comes to, you know one thing I find painful?
Mm.
When these guys are halfway, just outside of Africa, the way they profess their Africanness.
Oh no,
thank you very much.
Oh no, they're wonderful. Do you know what was one of the best videos that I ever watched? It was a guy, one of these Central African countries, but he could speak English. So I do not know if he was Nigerian or not. Homeboy's got a lovely, paunch of a belly, obviously illustrating the lavishness that he is obviously.
The evidence, it's hard to hide. Yeah.
But the evidence are other telltale signs. So the t-shirt he had on was a branded designer t-shirt, pretty large gold watch, pretty large, opulent, sunglasses. And they're standing in the middle. It looked like Moscow, like Russia. It looked like Russia, but it could also be potentially Belarus or one of the other particular countries that just border onto Russia on the western side of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Belarus. It could be, what's the other country's name? Lithuania or Latvia or Estonia. Could be one of those countries.
Yeah. And there are not a lot of black people in those countries. Believe me.
Helmut, you went very far. But the guy stands and someone is obviously recording him on the smartphone. He goes like, you see, look at these Europeans. Look at these people. Look at them. Look how they built up themselves. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. And he was obviously now, showing a lot of the positives of things. He said, look at the functioning public transport, which is something you and I have highlighted before.
Uh-huh.
They have trams. Trams are no longer made, Helmut, in the world. Trams are only the tram infrastructure in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, trams, before undergrounds were developed, trams were the go-to public transport. Smaller, quicker than a train, doesn't need as much energy, but it occupied a lot of road space. So what happened? If you've ever seen photos of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trams, and San Francisco is one of the oldest tram networks.
Mm.
Trams literally run on the tar road. You find trams in Berlin as well, in Germany. You find trams in Italy as well. You find trams in Istanbul, in Turkey. You find trams, I think, in some parts of Eastern Europe as well. But trams were literally, it's like discontinued technology. It's technology that can still be applied anywhere else, but it's literally discontinued. So what does a tram need? A tram needs it's literally like a small rail track. Not that it has the cross, you know, the pieces of metal and wood that run across it. You just need two tracks running like this. If you've ever seen roller coaster rides,
yep.
A roller coaster is literally like a tram. It's a small track, but not obviously the roller coaster. Just look at the tracks.
In San Francisco, we just call it a roller coaster.
Yeah, and the size of the thing. Now, trams also need a lot, and trams were technically the first green car. They run on electricity. So you need electrical connections to the thing to transport up and down that street. Trams do turn off, but in San Francisco, they were just concentrated in the city center on one side of the city. If anyone knows what San Francisco looks like, San Francisco's on both sides of the bay because that's why they've got the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So San Francisco's developed is a city on both sides of, it's not a river. It leads to a bay. So it's, you know, because you've got the Pacific Ocean there. So it runs, it's something that connects to the Pacific Ocean. Which has been a particular discussion of.
So part of it is in, what is a peninsula?
If it is, but it's actually like north-south connecting each other. And then they built this bridge.
Yeah.
To connect the two parts. It's like Istanbul. Istanbul has that massive bridge. And it's to connect the two parts. They call it the Bosphorus.
Mm-hmm. The Bosphorus.
Which is supposedly a river, but it's technically to lead you into the Black Sea and into the Mediterranean Sea. So that particular discussion right there of the tram.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the first thing I see because I always look at telltale signs. What do I see in this picture that this guy's showing me?
So, was he saying that in reference to, what Africa could accomplish?
He's complaining because he says, yeah, in Africa, we don't have any of these things. Look at what these guys have. Look at what they have. Look at what they're
wearing them.
But he's wearing their designer clothes. He's wearing their designer, sunglasses. He's wearing a designer watch. You can see he's someone that probably is someone's highly connected family member that can fly to Europe very often because, believe you me, an airplane ticket is not cheap.
I came across a video of Professor Lumumba criticizing, you know, saying something, how do I say, not criticizing per se, but he did say something critical to South Sudan. That a lot of the children of high profile individuals coming out of South Sudan, their kids, chances are very high, are not in South Sudan.
Yeah.
Chances are very high, they're somewhere in Ethiopia, Kenya, especially Kenya. And then you ask yourself, why are they, you know, it's because, you know, it has to do with infrastructure. If you live in a country that's war-torn and your father is an army general, you can afford a Bugatti, but you're not going to drive it in a war zone. That thing is going to get blown up.
Yeah.
So you now have to buy it and start driving it, everywhere. And before you start saying, you know what, it's just African people. A lot of Western media during the early days of the Russia-Ukraine war, that a lot of high-profile individuals that are involved in the disastrous Ukrainian foreign policy, they are not at the front line. They are somewhere in Monaco with fancy cars. So, again, that's actually the reason why I don't like people calling for war. Because I know they're not a huge fan of that because whoever you think is causing is making dumb policies at the highest level of your government. If you start firing a gun, believe me, they can afford an airplane ticket. The first bullet you fire, they're on a plane out of the country. You will be left to shoot your siblings and your neighbors. So that if you ask me is a very dumb idea. So coming back to the South-South cooperation.
Yeah.
Obviously there is a South-South cooperation and then there is, the triangular cooperation. This is a South-South cooperation or more like, developing and developed countries, working together to achieve, developmental goals. Because this is happening, put in mind, this is happening on a United Nations level. So it obviously ties into the SDGs. and your, you know, each and every respective country.
Actually, it's about achieving the SDGs.
Yeah, it's the one that the, to borrow the description of the of Antonio Guterres of the progress with regards to the progress of the SDGs.
Yeah,
the report makes for a what? Sobering reading.
No, but here's the funny thing. You remember you cited another particular document of the South-South Corporation?
Yeah. The debt swap discussion.
The debt swap discussion. Now, there was a report that Guterres had to author on behalf of the General Assembly, the countries that technically requested him, his office, to generate a report on the current situation of South-South Corporation and, you know, what this potentially could be. Now, this is an 18-page document.
Mm-hmm.
That's part because, I mean, the UN, they've got so many initiatives.
A lot.
Do you know how many times I have to go and search and search and verify and search and search? It's so, look, it's a nice rabbit hole, but it's every time it's a new adventure of understanding the UN's particular sort of like the administrative stuff and the, what's the other thing's name? And sort of like the administration
like
of
branches of the UN.
Yeah, but I didn't know that there was this UNOSSC thing, the South-South thing. And it has its own websites.
Yep.
So, get to this report. Remember I started off with a discussion, particularly, for example, like taking a look at the G77 plus China, the BRICS coalition of countries. And that I already highlighted to the listener, for example, if you want to see a illustration, a manifestation on the ground, look at the Belt and Road Initiative, right? Guterres literally starts in the global context part of this report. It's only 18 pages in this global context of this report.
Mm-hmm.
He literally highlights in paragraph 6. It's must know the whole document. So paragraph 6 in the whole document. He says, well, actually, I have to start from paragraph 5. He says, during the reporting period, developing countries demonstrated the resolve to take collaborative measures to recover from COVID-19 pandemic while building resilience in the face of climate change and other development challenges. Now, remember you highlighted the digital divide discussion. At the heart of everything that took place earlier this week, they were mentioning or they were echoing the same particular notions of climate change is a major particular threat hanging over many developing nations.
Yeah.
And then there's the unmet sort of like, let's plug the gaps that COVID-19 exposed challenges that are still persisting till today in some countries. Now he continues to say that resolve coincided with the need for a rescue plan for people and planet in 2023, with only 15% of the sustainable development goal targets on track to be met by 2030. He continues, against that backdrop, several countries that play a pivotal role in South-South cooperation, i.e. BRICS, took measures to enlarge their group, which invited Egypt, Ethiopia, the Islamic Republic of Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates to join the alliance at the 15th BRICS summit held in August of 2023. Through South-South cooperation, the expanded alliance, which possesses vital food and energy systems in addition to other indispensable value chains, has the potential to contribute to key transitions needed to accelerate the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals. Helmut, we just needed that paragraph, those two paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need for this discussion.
I'll give you one that we need also. This one, this one is also coming out of the recent, South-South cooperation engagement in Morocco. And that's also by Dima Al-Khatib, who is the organization's director.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they also have that. They've got a chair.
Welcome to the United Nations.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
I'm telling you.
It's even worse than a government.
There's a very nice part of their website where her speech is basically summarized.
Yeah.
And she did address a few things for some, some of the things that she addressed was South and triangular cooperation, brings hope. Then she went on to talk about addressing shared challenges through collective action. And that's where my favorite paragraph is. We'll get back to that later. Then she talks about leveraging innovation and digital transformation.
Mm.
And then she talks about a transformative power of South-South cooperation, aka the advantages of the union, and the role of triangular cooperations into, you know, the strengthening, or more like, you know, why South-South cooperation is not enough developmental-wise. We still need developed countries.
Yeah.
And a call to action, then that's what she basically concludes with. But coming to the lingering digital transformation, addressing a shared challenges through collective action. On that one, she says the world today faces complex interconnected crises, persistent poverty, widening inequality, the climate emergency, like you just pointed out, and lingering impacts of COVID-19. Again, as you just pointed, COVID-19 pandemic, just as you pointed out. Then she goes on to say that the challenges do not, they don't know any borders. In other words, they impact everyone equally. COVID-19 did not say, you know, this is a developed country, I'm not spilling over in there. And no country can tackle them alone. South-South cooperation offers a powerful model for collective action. One that is inclusive, adaptable, rooted in the lived experience of developing countries.
Yeah.
Lived experience. We are talking from experience. A recent example is the African Union's Peace Fund, which allowed 7 million to support peace initiatives in Burkina Faso, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and other countries facing instability.
Mm.
This, I'm now thinking, no wonder we failed to silence guns by 2023. It's because, well, some countries, who won't mention any names, they are not contributing towards the financial capability of the AU to basically execute its mandate.
You do know it includes the country that has the AU head offices.
Which is why I say it.
In its country.
You don't want to mention any names.
Okay. So.
First of all.
Well, we first have to ask a question.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the other particular thing. Another illustration of the South-South cooperative discussion has obviously also been that specific headquarters of the AU was constructed by the Chinese.
Funded.
And also constructed. Yeah, funded and constructed. That's why I only went to the constructed.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I say the Chinese, then everyone can obviously assume where the money came from.
Uh-huh.
It's not like the whole of Africa put out a tender and said, we are inviting international companies to come and construct. No. Mm-hmm. You would definitely assume whose money it is that was building that thing. So I stopped there. which also included the airport, right?
I think so.
The Ethiopian airport. Yeah. Which also included the airport.
This is why I congratulated Tanzania yesterday when it came out that their John Magufuli bridge that runs across is a multi-million-dollar project. It was completed and it was funded entirely by internal funding. They didn't have to go and borrow somewhere and then use the money to give a cousin a tender.
Well, that's because the president, who's a woman, is one that's also saying, you know what, we need...
Man, this is embarrassing for my gender. Guys, come on, seriously.
No, Helmut, but that's just the thing. So many people forget how good women are in doing work.
Yeah, Mzwakhe Mbuli once said women are caregivers by nature.
And then you will get that thing of our gender. They are the guys that take extended lunch breaks. They sometimes AWOL, like the very good stories I've heard of the public sector. The guy, he says, no, I'm coming back, never to be seen again.
Yeah, and Thursday is Friday.
Yeah, for some of them.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, there's not even a notice to say I'm sick or anything. They just don't show up on Monday. For you to ask now, where have you been? You go and ask the supervisor, mm-hmm. where have you been, Helmut? And then you go like, ah, you know what? Something came up, but there's not even an application of leave, anything of that. So development is not just about building a road
mm-hmm.
in this discussion. Development is literally about building up people to literally be the torchbearer for your country going forward. I'll ask you this particular question again, Helmut. How does China have a cell phone company, ne?
Mm-hmm.
That makes 5 cell phone brands? It's its own products.
Yep.
But it makes 5 cell phone brands.
And then, you know, they decided to use a market that no one is using, including themselves.
The number one phone brand in the world, iPhone and Samsung, Apple and Samsung, they are too afraid to even just make a second product,
mm-hmm.
a second competing product. They will keep you fixated on just this one product. You just have to buy Apple and Apple products. You just have to buy Samsung and Samsung products.
Yep.
Just for us to come through, for example, like with Transsion. Remember Transsion that has the Itel brand. They've got the
Oppo?
Techno brand. And then, no, it's not Oppo. It's the other one. There's a third brand that they've got that also just operates in the Middle East and Africa. Then there's another one that's in South Africa, but you don't see it here yet in Namibia. If you've ever heard of the Vivo brand.
Yeah, I've heard of
it. The Vivo mobile phones.
Yeah.
Ne? There's a more premium brand known as the Oppo, which you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Oppo, ne, is only contained in South Africa. Oppo is not yet being shipped to Namibia. We had access to some Oppos, but they were like last generation, yeah. Previous generations of the things. South Africa has OnePlus. We don't have OnePlus.
Yeah, because OnePlus is very common. One thing I've observed in India.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's OnePlus in India is competing with Samsung and Apple.
Yeah. Oppo is also very big in India.
Yeah, it's huge in India.
You see OnePlus advertising, or is it Vivo advertising, in the UEFA Champions League in China and in Europe. And you know, then you have Hisense, the other Chinese manufacturer, electronics manufacturer, at the World Cup. Now, Helmut, when you're looking at South-South, who you will definitely throw your bet in terms of definitely getting some sort of a South-South assistance from the Chinese, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know, I'm not blowing anyone's horn here, but the actions do speak louder than words.
Yep.
I mean, Donald Trump recently in this week told the whole of the Sahara Desert countries, you know what, guys, we're going to withdraw our people. You're going to have to deal with the terrorism discussions on your own. Now, how do you think does that make you feel, Helmut? You were living in such safety, such peaceful conditions, because you know, just behind that sand dune, there's a jihadi there. And the only thing between your safety...
There's a jihadi in my stoop.
And that jihadi... and that jihadi over there is literally that there is peacekeepers from the United States or from France.
Yeah.
You know, preserving your safety because your local security forces are not to be trusted. So what are you going to do now with that, Helmut? Just to hear that announcement. That bodyguard is going to go away.
You know why? You know why? I think that's a good idea because how do I put this? Necessity breeds innovation. Like yeah. You know, they're gonna have to figure something out. Like really fast, including working together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That will really have to, they will have to figure out something. Now, But the South-South cooperation itself, obviously it's going to have challenges in terms of implementation, but I will continue on that on the other side of the break. Let's take a quick break.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.7.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Audio mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma kuroye kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM enyamukuru olongaha ninge kwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita timwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 mamberewa konorahita tunatu bali o hetatu batatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The time is 20 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. So we're still on South-South cooperation.
Mm.
And accomplishments here and there and challenges here and there in that cooperation as a word, because what we are looking at is the cooperation in South-South cooperation basically entails a lot of plans that must be executed, which is why the triangle cooperation that now ropes in the developed countries also becomes a discussion. Because just take, for example, Okay, there are a lot of there are a lot of international agreements that that a lot of countries have signed together.
Yeah,
and all these international agreements translates into setting goals and then executing those goals. If you look at the 2015 Paris agreements, for example, this is agreements made by both developing and developed countries to sort of like come up or implement in their respective countries, implement energy climate change mitigation strategies, including energy transition. Now that means each and every country now has a mammoth task of trying to see what change it must do to, so that it can play its part into combating climate change. And every year during the COP conferences, and we have COP 30 this year in, this year in Brazil, every country now have to go there and say, this is what I'm doing.
Mm.
Now, that's just the one aspect. Now, when you look at, at the agendas, if you look at goals that have been set, you just pointed out that the United Nations itself as an international body has a lot of, as you'd expect, an organization that is serving global interests is going to have a lot of subdivisions under, it's going to be an umbrella of a lot of, of a lot of branches. You have, you have UNESCO, you have UNICEF, you have, UNHCR, you have Food and Agriculture Organization, you have, a lot of this. You have ECOSOC, and you have this one that up until this morning I had no idea it existed.
Same here. And I watched the whole 2 hour thing. Just realized they have their own office, their own branch.
They have their own director. No idea. They have their own, by the way, functioning website, unlike some websites we won't mention. But now what you have here is. I've tried visiting your website, guys. Some of them just don't work. Yeah. Now that means, for all these, 190 something plus countries to accomplish all these goals, whether it's to bridge the digital divide, whether it's climate change combating, or trying to come up with the best ways to, disaster preparation, disaster management preparation in terms of, the best response to global disasters, be it an earthquake or a tsunami. Thank heavens we don't have to deal with those. Not on a Japanese level. I mean, they had to build buildings on shock absorbers. If you bring it here, man, the shock absorbers these local construction companies will give you. Sorry, guys. But,
well, if most of them know how to only build a garage, I mean, what must you do, Helmut?
I mean, you can't live in Japan on I know my car. You're going to die. I'm telling you, you have to plan ahead. Yeah. You have to plan ahead. And I know today is Ascension Day. Then I'm gonna point that out again. You can't live in places like Japan with crossing your fingers and hoping an earthquake doesn't come.
Mm.
It's going to come, and it's not going to send a notice in advance.
Yeah.
So, I think the best way, the best way that the Japanese have come to live with their terrain is that they know that a lot of things like earthquakes, they don't have control over that. Yeah. So the best way to do that is to prepare for it. That's all.
Hope for the best and wish it sticks.
Build an entire skyscraper on shock absorbers. That's genius.
I hope it sticks.
Yeah. It works. It did save, that one building in Taiwan with a giant dampening ball that, someone wrote one of the best comments ever. A lot of buildings around it, suffered the damages because of an earthquake, and the building, stood still, and it's a high rise.
Mm.
And it did not suffer any, it did not suffer any damage as a result of the tremor because of the, that giant is suspended on some giant metal ball suspended on a lot of giant shock absorbers.
Yeah.
That's why it didn't, you know, that's why it was not damaged by earthquake. That's why it remained standing. One guy was like, well, that's the reason why I've been standing. That's because I have two of those. And back to the development part. Leveraging innovation and digital transformation, that's nice, but you know, you can read that on your own. And one thing that I found interesting is a transformative power of South-South cooperation, like the importance of the South-South cooperation. The South-South cooperation is grounded in mutual respect. Now, that part got me cracking. Solidarity and partnership. I was laughing my lungs out. And it is DRC, Rwanda. That's some mutual cooperation they have going on there. It's about countries with similar challenges and aspiration coming together to find a solution that works in their own context.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, you know, this is developing countries basically saying, look, we need, telling developed countries like, look, yeah, we need your help, but there's something that only developing country permanent residents will understand.
Yeah.
And I think we will solve it much better if we talk to each other and try to come up with innovative ways to settle it. Because, well, imagine, you know, you live in a, you know, you live in the middle of nowhere with a struggling internet connection and you are talking to someone who, you know, someone who is in Zurich. Believe me, they can't relate when it comes, you know, with regards to what you are going through.
Actually, they are surprised that your internet connection firstly works.
They're surprised you have internet.
And then you go, yes, something wrong.
You speak English?
Are you sure you're African?
Yes. So the cooperation is needed, but high level committees or engagements like this, I think should send a very interesting message to African countries that are not paying their dues to the African Union's financial initiatives. Because, all projects, the reason why we have everything, you know, star spangling on paper, but when it comes to implementation, the first elephant in the room we have, which I still can't believe that it's still on their website, is silencing the guns by 2021. And we're in 2025.
Yeah.
The guns are as loud as they were before we wrote that document. That means silencing guns requires a lot of financial support.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Hamoud. The same report that I just read from earlier.
Yeah.
Guterres highlights, just because the BRICS guys are now trying to do things themselves because they can clearly see that the developed countries they're probably taking a little bit long.
Yeah.
This obviously spells a discussion that, you know what, it does not mean that the developed countries should not still be part of this. They should still be part of it.
Yeah.
They should still factor in as part of a discussion of assisting where necessary.
Yeah, after all, we are having this all this conversation under the umbrella of United Nations, and they are a part of it. Last time I checked, they're the ones that are sitting at the high table.
Yeah, most of them. Most of them. So now that you're probably seeing in a realm of, like, our central bank governor is saying that there's a lot of particular economic uncertainty happening right now, now you need to wonder, okay, who of these developed countries will now step forward. Will you now see Italy in an EU context also now taking the charge? Because remember, Italy is part of the G7 economies.
Mm-hmm.
Will you now start seeing Japan stepping forward? Because obviously you will now understand that they realize that they need to work closer with a lot of these BRICS neighbors that they have in their proximities.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I know that Italy has invested a lot in the South African economy. And they have invested a lot in the North African countries. You know, the countries opposite them, Egypt, Tunisia, Algeria, and Morocco.
Yeah. And according to yesterday's National Council report, they were this close to investing a lot, you know, on Dangote Tannery.
Yeah. And then, you know, where there was volunteers working.
Yeah. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. But before we continue, we've got a short ad break to take. Velvice University. This is the Velvice University September Intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4. This is a one-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek, in Kurinkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek only. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4 years course available, 4 years full-time course available in Windhoek, in Kurinkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is from 1 May to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever.
Yep. Welcome back. We have 8 minutes before we hand over to the business and economic segment, guys. So, the South-South Corporation is going to be, you know, is going to have, especially from a, you know, from an African standpoint, it's going to have a lot of challenges that will require one thing a lot of African leaders don't like to do a lot, like talking to each other.
And also putting money where money is needed.
Putting money where money is needed. Not in private bank accounts.
For example, Helmut, remember when we did the analysis on the Lupito Corridor?
Yep.
$600 million from the United States agreed upon between the US and the European Union. And it was approved by SADC.
How embarrassing is that?
How embarrassing indeed. Approved by SADC. Developed under the Global Infrastructure Development Program of the European Union and the United States, known as the Global Infrastructure Development something. I remember because I still wrote the article as well about that discussion.
Yeah.
Which points to specifically that the European Union and the United States are partnering up into something. I still have to understand specifically whether or not Trump will probably throw this in the dustbin somehow. Because that it seems Trump wants personal gifts. I mean, the template, the bar has now been set by the Qataris and the Saudis.
Yeah, you know what? You know, it'll be very difficult to make relationship with the US for countries like Namibia because, well, for one, first thing you have to do is buy for the guy a flying palace.
You know what's the worst part, Amon? Remember that comedian that I mentioned yesterday, Adam Conover, who interviewed the Scottish economist that lives in the US as well, Martin Blythe. Martin Blythe explained a very nice thing to Conover. He said, because Conover asked him also that particular question, what does this look like with the rest of the world looking at the United States? He said, well, you know what? We're now in a time where the rest of the world goes like, buddy, you're not the only country, you're not the only person that exists here.
Nope.
Buddy, you know what? We can talk to other people. You know, there is a sanction-proof guy that made himself sanction-proof.
Uh-huh.
He's more than willing.
Set a template.
He's more than willing showing us what you must do to be prepared for severing relations with you. Now, if you've got templates like that already, Helmut.
Yep.
I mean, what's there to lose? And believe you me, here's the worst thing that has ultimately happened to that country, to the United States. Most of its traditional allies and NATO partners have told their citizens, do not fly to the United States. All I'm seeing is there's potentially going to be more tourists coming this way.
Towns, and we're already doing awesomely well at that.
Towns, the tourism sector in the US people are giving them 2 months. It was this month of May and next month of June. They're just giving them 2 months before the whole tourism sector in the United States falls flat, collapses.
Because of the whole deportations or what?
Not the deportations.
AR-15s?
Not even the AR-15s. Literally, what happened to the rhetoric around Canada?
Uh-huh.
Remember when he
in
said...
Mexico.
In not just Mexico. Mexico's situation is not as bad as Canada's one. Remember when he said, yeah, Canada's going to become the 51st state of the United States.
Uh-huh.
When he made that statement.
Hey.
Do you know that literally Trump caused a party that was on the collapse, a political party in Canada that was on the collapse.
He rebuilt it from the ground.
In a month, he literally gave one party, which is a legacy party, a legacy political party of Canada.
Yeah.
He literally gave that party the oomph, the resolve.
He performed, he performed the same miracle that Jesus performed on Lazarus.
Yeah. It ascended on the third day. Uh-huh. Anyway. Everyone else is now seeing the similar thing because many countries have now, because remember, the United States was also downgraded by one of the ratings agencies last week. Yeah. First time in human history. The US has been downgraded.
Well, Richard Wolff maybe, you know, may have a point.
So, that's why I made the statement yesterday. It seems like the financial crash or the economic, difficulties is not going to be an issue that we are going to experience. But maybe South Africa, because South Africa has a lot of financial assets in the US economy. But for all of us that can tell the United States, you know what, brah? There are other people to talk to.
My favorite part is when we had a North Korean ambassador. I was like, man, the world have changed.
There's literally the whole world is telling each other, you know what, guys, we can do this one by ourselves. Because you now have a guy that proved how to become sanction proof. He is the template.
Like, this is how you deal with stubborn people, first of all.
Yeah, this is
sanction proof your economy.
Exactly.
And then give them the middle finger. So that when they start throwing punches, you are so far away from them, they can't reach you. Okay. So, one thing we have to sort out in Africa is just, before we get to just energy transition, let's deal with the just power transition in terms of, you know, leadership.
Mm.
The Cameroonian president is planning on running for office again. Now I think it's,
you can see a coup d'etat coming. You can see a coup coming. You can even see it from June.
You don't have to be a prophet.
No. You don't even have to be religious.
No, you don't.
You were still saying Amut.
Yeah. So, I'm looking at the end. There's this sort of like a lot of, as you'd expect, a lot of tit for tat. Now, you think we have political tit for tat here when there are elections.
Mm.
You ain't seen Cameroon. Cameroon and Nigeria, these guys know how to roast each other on social media.
Yeah.
When the, when the Cameroonian president was voted in for the seventh time, landslide election. He wants to run for his, eighth term, if I'm not mistaken. When the Nigerian president was voted in, when the Nigerian president, Nigeria had its election first, that they vote in Bola Tinubu, and the Cameroonians started cooking Nigerians that, you guys have voted in, Ancient of Days. And then, when the Cameroonians had their elections, Nigerians started making fun of Cameroonians that they voted in, Rock of Ages. But, these guys are mean to each other on social media. How they come up with these names is beyond me.
Rock of Ages and what? What was the other one?
Ancient of Days. Look, now I got
yo.
The point is power and transition. Now, you know, but if you look at the two countries,
so I think, would they say about Uganda?
Oh dear Lord! Now,
the tree of life.
If you look at the two countries, though, Nigeria has had its issues in terms of power transition, but they have accomplished some. They've had different presidents ever since I came to know the existence of the country.
Yeah.
Because believe me, I was not this interested in politics. But Cameroon, on the other hand, is a country that is having,
same guy.
Yeah, that is headed for a disaster political wise.
No, national wise as well.
Remember
they brought it onto, what's the guy's name? The other guy that's also been there for a long time that got, literally the coup happened after he won the elections again. What was the guy's name?
Is it the Equatorial Guinea guy?
Yeah, him. I keep forgetting, but it's his son. His son was the guy caught by the French police for corruption.
Ah.
And for,
the one whose fancy cars have to, you know, had to be auctioned, yeah.
Yeah. He was caught, his son was arrested in 2022. He literally wins the elections again. Just 2 days later to be taken hostage in a coup. Because he's also one of those guys that have been there forever.
During the Summit of the Future Energy discussion in London this year, one thing that was pointed out is investors. Okay, first of all, the developmental goals that all UN member states have on paper or have planned, they need a large amount, you know, very, very big investments are needed, financial-wise.
Yeah.
And this would be very difficult to pull off without the private, you know, without the private sector's arm. Now, because of that, it will be up to the people on the ground and the leaders of each and every specific UN member state country to ensure, to ensure these private investors, whether local or foreign, that it's safe to invest in long-term investments.
Yeah.
In all these countries. Now, again, the reason why I keep referring to that is, you are not going to convince me to, you know, to invest in your 40 years project, your 40 years long project, to put billions of dollars of my money, which believe me, I don't have, in a 40 years long or even longer project, if I'm not assured about the political stability of your country.
Mm.
Because, you know, that's a lot of, a lot of foreign investment on the African continent is in the extractive industry. And the extractive industry is, is a sponge when it comes to money. Now, what do we keep going back to? oil exploration. Seismic survey.
Yeah.
300 million.
Yep.
Who in their right mind will spend that amount of money? And now you have to understand that if you are spending 300 million on a survey, you bet that by the time that you get to decommissioning, you have spent a lot of money. And obviously during production you are going to make a lot of money back. Now everyone's goal is I know if I was to put a lot of my money in oil exploration, my goal is for that exploration to yield good enough results to reach production level.
Mm.
Because that's when I begin to make my money back. Not the, you know, for a coup to happen in between my, you know, that explore, you know, that survey and production, and then everything in the country goes to tatters. Now all my money is gone.
Yep.
Now, even if that coup is settled in a week, it's going to be very difficult to convince someone to come and invest in your country again, because you're only in office for five years, assuming you last a week. So, investment-wise, basically the SDGs requires a significant lot of investments, because it requires a lot of investments a lot of investment because it requires a lot of investments. Investment worthy atmosphere must be created.
Mm.
One that starts with, you know, smooth transition of power, not hardwood glued to the presidential office, which is very common in Africa from the look of things.
Yeah, well, that hard glue, Helmut, usually comes with family and friends, the brasters, you know.
Whole 9 years.
But there's nothing happening in the economy, you know. Then they splurge on a African Cup of Nations tournament. Well, that's what Equatorial Guinea and Gabon did.
Yep.
Didn't get them far, eh?
No, it didn't.
No.
No, it did not.
No.
Well, Equatorial Guinea also did something to go viral. You know, someone decided to get into parliamentarians' wives and do the unthinkable to them.
Helmut, Helmut, you're going too far, dude.
7 minutes. Tomorrow is payday. That's not how I lose my money.
You're going too far.
No, that's Equatorial Guinea.
Yeah.
7 minutes past the hour of six. This is where we park the bus until tomorrow. Same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. From me, y'all have a good evening.
And from my side, dear listeners, catch us again tomorrow. Same place, same time, same place. Do remember that also tomorrow is the Villager e-paper, coming out on the Friday edition. And if you're part of our subscription, look forward to the reading. And obviously the insightful information that we always contain within it.
Yeah, if you are not part of it, you can, well, you still can. All you just have to do is send a subscribe via WhatsApp to 08 01204144. And remember to save the number so you are not a stranger. It's still early. You can still catch tomorrow's e-paper.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.